Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Hello, this is Willard Welch, drum class of 1958. We're having another interview with another grad, Richard Hampton. And today's date is July 25th, 2012. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Willard. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Let's start off with, what's your full name?
Richard Edward Hampton.
And do you have a nickname when you're at the farm that you can use?
I'm sure I did, but I just don't remember. I probably blocked it out because it was stupid.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Where did you come from?
Native Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, okay. Remember what neighborhood you were in?
Over on Bennington, went to grade school at Manchester Grade School I think it was Truman Road.
Yeah, up on the east side.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And did anyone else come with you when you came?
No.
Okay. And how long were you at the farm and what years?
Matter of fact, I came out the year you graduated, 58.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there until 64.
Wow.
And I was there mainly because of the fact that the person that I was living with was an alcoholic and decided to use me as a punching bag.
Ooh, okay.
And the neighbors got a little tired of listening to the screaming. Thank God.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, a lot of us were in the same predicament.
I know.
Which high school did you attend?
William Chrisman. I actually started in the eighth grade at East High School. And then when the city limits were moved out, mm-hmm. then we had to go on and go to William Chrisman.
Oh, when Independence City
Limits. Limits moved out, and Drum Farm was then in the city limits of,
right.
of Independence.
And did you participate in any school activities or sports?
Yes. Played football. Mm-hmm. And I played all the sports at Drum. I mean, I played football, basketball, and baseball at Drum.
Sure.
Football at William Chrisman. And followed with college, playing a little bit of football at Warrensburg. And just got a lucky break, and I got to go to tryouts with the Kansas City Chiefs in 1969.
Right.
Didn't do well, but
you get to try.
I got to walk out there and say, hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah. Get knocked down a couple times and then go.
There you go. What an experience.
Very much so. I mean, it was nice to be there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
sure.
not everybody can say that they've been there, so that was a good thing.
That's true. Now, during your school years, do you remember any fads that were going on?
fads. Well, you know, back in the day, it was mostly like bell-bottom jeans and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, nobody really thought much about it. It's just... it was the cool thing to wear, and we didn't have a lot of those at Drum Farm. We had those regular jeans that were kind of straight, but, mm-hmm. you know, I caught a little flack from some of my buddies, but that was all right. I could handle that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we always knew we were different.
that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, that's true. What 4-H and FFA memories do you have?
Oh, well, one of the 4-H memories I have is... we had a 4-H dance, and I wasn't what you'd call real fancy with the girls, and one of the girls that came was Carol was a very good friend, and that was the first time I ever danced a fast dance in my life. Mm-hmm. All I ever knew how to do was just stand there and be close and bob back and forth, look like a buoy in the water or something. But that was the first time that ever happened. And the other memories I have of 4-H and FFA were all of the projects that I had at the farm. I had a steer project that I showed and pigs and sheep,
right.
you know, everything.
Yeah.
And it was all very exciting and very good things to do and be, have a part of in your life.
Definitely, yeah. Now, did you go to the state or anything with any of the things with the FFA?
With my steer, showing it, I took it, and it did real well for me. And then I sold it to the meat packing house. And
that was the goal.
that was where we made our money.
That's right. Now, were you with FFA? Were you a part of any of the parliamentary procedures, the radio skits?
No, actually, Mr. Kelly didn't feel like I should be doing any of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
He said we need the ones that are really good students to do that stuff, and so I just did the building of things and stuff like that. So I did get a lot of ribbons from FFA, but it was mostly for building things or raising animals and stuff like that.
All right.
So no parliament procedure, none of that for me.
Okay. Now, do you remember how much your allowance was during those years?
I can't even believe you brought that one up. As a matter of fact, I was just telling somebody the other day, in my junior year, we got all the way up to $4 a month, whether we needed it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And then by that time, my senior year, then we were allowed to start getting jobs after school.
Right.
So I became a busboy at Stevenson's Restaurant and worked up there. So I was able to make some money. I mean, something to spend. Yeah. But the $4 a month didn't seem to go very far.
Mm, tell me.
Yeah. Well, you know, because yours was even less than that.
That was our peak, $4. But now you were under Mr. Birkmeyer's
regime,
era,
yes.
Regime.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some changes there.
Oh, a lot of changes. And Mr. Birkmeyer, from what I understand about Mr. Nelson handled things with a very firm hand. And George Birkmeyer handled it with a semi-firm hand.
Right.
And he gave me a big opportunity because I had ran away from the farm. And Mr. Nelson would have never let me come back.
True.
And Mr. Birkmeyer asked one of the other, at that time, Jerry Kaufman was a senior in high school, and he was standing in the office talking to Mr. Birkmeyer. And Mr. Birkmeyer says, should we give this crazy kid another chance? Thank God Jerry was the one that used to pick on me all the time. So he said, yeah, let's do it. So it was good for me. But Mr. Nelson would have never done that.
True.
And Mr. Birkmeyer did. And I'm very thankful. Mm-hmm. Mr. Birkmeyer is a very special man to me.
Oh, yeah. A lot of us.
Yeah, I know.
And then you, with Mr. Birkmeyer in charge, you were able to do the busboy routine, which...
That was one of the things that Mr. Birkmeyer started because he felt like that the boys, by the time they're seniors in high school, they ought to be able to start showing a little bit of responsibility with handling of money and taking care of themselves a little bit, because as soon as school's out, then we were on our own somewhat.
Right.
So that's why he worked that program out. Mm-hmm. And so we had 8 kids in our senior class, and every one of us was working somewhere, which was pretty cool.
But that was in addition to your chores.
So. Oh, yeah. Chores always came first. Always. Loved milking those cows. Loved butchering them.
But that was probably your favorite.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's why that came to mind.
We had great milk battles. As long as you had a cow with good udders, you was in good shape. But if you had a new one, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fat cats, too.
Yes, we did, didn't we? All over the place.
Let's see. Well, we've already covered your favorite chore. What was your least favorite?
Oh, that's easy. Taking care of the chicken roost, cleaning the chicken roost, and collecting the eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Birkmeyer caught me throwing some of the real dirty ones against a wall and just letting them run down behind the crates. So I wound up cleaning the walls and painting all the walls down in that building.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I hated cleaning chicken roost. That was terrible.
If we were taking a survey, I think that'd be right up there at the top.
Yeah, Mr. Birkmeyer told everybody one day, I thought I dropped my gum, and he thought I found it 3 times.
And see, now, while you were at the farm, were you involved in any of the construction projects?
Oh, yeah. I was involved in helping build the gymnasium. Hmm. That was a lot of work. Putting that tile down on the floor was just vulgar. But, I mean, it all turned out. Because as you remember, when I first got there, we were shoveling snow off the outdoor basketball court.
That's
you
right.
guys did as well.
Yeah.
So that you could practice basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And when we built that gymnasium, it turned out to be one of the greatest things we ever built.
Oh, yeah.
And then we built the new dormitory, which is now known as McClure Hall.
Right.
And I was a big part of that one because I did the electrical in there.
Mm, good.
And it still works, which to me just kind of shocks me. Shocks me. Oh, brother.
What a play on words.
Did I just say that?
But, yeah, because, you know, there were some years when there was no construction.
Exactly. And we wound up having quite a bit of construction going on while in our high school days.
Right.
So we were very lucky in a lot of ways because you learn a lot of stuff by building all of that. You bet.
Because I know a lot of the guys have mentioned how they learned their electrical skills as well as woodworking.
When you graduated from Drum Farm in our era, we had the opportunity to go into the meat cutting business, go into electricity, mm-hmm. plumbing, carpentry,
right.
farming, everything.
Yeah, any of the trades.
Any of the trades.
Right.
As well as you always took your turn cleaning house. You always took your turn working in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You always took your turn milking, which
right.
that was always fun. But everything we did, I mean, led to learning process of something for life.
Right.
And I think that's what Mr. Drum wanted. And I know that's what Mr. Berkmeyer wanted.
Definitely.
And I know Harry Nelson did too.
Right, in their own ways.
Yes, you bet.
Yeah. Now, what kind of entertainment did you have when you were at Drum besides the 4-H dances?
Entertainment? Well, let's see. Well, we used to have hay rides.
Right.
And we had all of our church functions.
True.
It was kind of interesting. We had, you know, the one thing about Drum, nobody had to go to a church that they didn't believe in or go to before they ever came to Drum. That big green bus dropped us off at every church in town.
Right. And there you were, stranded until they picked you up.
And then they picked us up at the restaurant after we skipped church.
Yes, because they knew where you were.
But, no, it was pretty neat in that respect. But, yeah, that was, you know, that was all pretty neat things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. Everybody got to pick their own church.
You bet. We had it all.
Oh, we did. We did. And you already mentioned your job skills that you picked up out there. And did that help you develop any hobbies?
Well, as far as hobbies go, I mostly, when I wasn't doing my chores and during the summer baling hay and filling silos and all of that, I mostly was in sports. I mean, Mr. Brown, I guess you'd call him an athletic director, but Mr. Brown was our coach.
Right.
And he kind of saw things in different kids, and he knew how to get it out of you.
Right.
And I'd never even thought about playing sports where I came from in Kansas City.
Right.
Because I was just a city boy that just tried to stay alive,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now I'm out there learning how to play sports and everything else. And it's what helped me be who I am today.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the thing that I remember is that everybody wanted to be a part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
So you were always involved.
Always involved. Always involved. And it really was a bond. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And like during the summer when we had our baseball program, and then we'd have our reunion when all of you old guys would come out to see the guys who were living out there, which was what we do now, all of us together. And we'd play a baseball game between the kids that live out there now and the old guys that used to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had so much fun with that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the things they don't do anymore, but I hope they get back to it one of these days.
Right. It'd be nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me see. Now, you said you graduated in
64.
Four. And how old were you then?
I was 18.
18. And you are how old today?
Old.
Old.
66.
66.
Yes, sir.
Now, did you go to college or trade school?
Central Missouri State in Warrensburg. And
you did a degree?
I finished, no, I didn't get it then, but okay. I went back at night school and stuff like this, and I finally got a BA.
Good. What was your major?
Business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I looked at wanting to major in PE, and then I realized how much work it was. And you have to almost be a doctor. And I said, no, I just wanted to teach kickball. So I said, never mind that. I'll just go into the business major and see what happens.
Right, yeah. A lot more latitude there.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Now, what's your opinion on, do you think drum could have better prepared you for life after graduation?
Oh, no.
But, you know, really, with you, since you were under George's regime, you guys had a different preparation.
Oh,
than the guys.
Without question. No, we were really prepared. We were very, very prepared. He was a little bit upset with me because I think he had some really big plans for me because he thought I was really going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And me and my girlfriend wound up her getting pregnant. And we got married. And so I started my family right away. You know, I was 19 when my first son was born. I love him to death. He's 47. He's a police officer in Kansas City, Missouri, and been there 20 years, and neat guy. I actually have four really neat kids. And
you had me worried. I thought you were going to say wives.
No. Oh, no, just one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've had more than one, but we've really made this one work because we celebrate 35 years this September.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's hard to believe somebody could put up with me that long, but my three sons and my daughter are all just they're a real blessing. And when you're raised without really having family, and then you start your family, and you've got these three beautiful children that, wow, I mean, it just makes your life so full. Yeah. And now my daughter has given me one grandchild who is in his second year of college.
Ooh.
My oldest son has given me three grandchildren. One is in the Army, and one is going to school in college, and my granddaughter is getting ready to go into nursing school.
Great.
And my middle son has got two little boys. He was the last one to get started. And my youngest son has got three children, a boy and two beautiful girls. And I'm just madly in love with all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And my oldest grandson has a little boy. So I have a great-grandson. Boy, am I old.
Whew. Wow. That great grandchild really gets you.
Well, I told Joe, I said, you didn't check with me about this. And he said, I don't talk to you about those things.
That's right.
I said, well, you should have talked to somebody. Anyway, but it's good. And yeah, Mr. Berkmeyer's ideas on life, though, were such wonderful things. And that man, he was a blessing for us.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I don't know of anybody that ever was around Mr. Berkmeyer that did not like him. And for me, that meant the world. I mean, he was such a special man.
He was, definitely.
He told me I was his biggest pain he ever had at Drum Farm.
I bet he had a reason.
Oh, he did. He had a lot of them, as a matter of fact. Are you kidding? I was busy out there. I kept everybody on their toes.
Sounds like you and David were busy writing on the wall.
See, he was farther ahead of me, but David and I really, we can carry the load together now, I'm telling you.
I bet. Switching gears here now, were you in the service?
No, Uncle Sam turned me down.
Oh, okay.
Bad knees. Football destroyed
me. That's just what I was going to say, with your sports career.
Yeah, I have two steel knees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, you and I met after graduation, and you were working out at Blue Ridge.
Oh, what was I doing then?
I don't know, selling shoes or something.
Yeah, I was. I was selling shoes in the Blue Ridge Mall. Wow, that's good. I was selling women's shoes.
Well.
I had about as much business being there as anywhere. I'm telling you what, that was the craziest job I've ever had.
But at that time, you were also, I thought, trying to play semi-pro ball.
I was playing semi-pro football, yeah.
Meat packing company?
No, I'd went with the... when I went to camp with the Chiefs, and then I had a few altercations there that I wasn't able to make it. So then I started playing semi-pro ball with the Kansas City Steers.
Oh.
And it was a semi-pro team that they kind of fed some athletes. That league fed some athletes into the NFL. Mm. And so I thought maybe that would be another avenue.
Sure.
But it turned out not to be, but made some wonderful lifetime friends. And
I'm sure.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
And destroyed my body.
Yeah. We, you know, it's amazing the damage that sports can put on the body. Yeah.
But if you ask anybody that played, would you do it again? Let me think. Yes? Yeah, that quick.
It's quick, yeah. Now, of all the things that you learned at drama, what do you think is the most valuable?
Oh, mercy. I would have to say probably responsibility, caring for others, helping others. I don't know that there is just one most important thing that I've learned. I mean, I've learned so many wonderful things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know as well as I do, coming from this environment, it's not like anything else anybody's ever experienced.
No.
And the only ones that really understand it are us that have been there.
Yeah, the other alumni.
Yeah. And we hope that when we get together and the people that are there now see us, see how we are, and see how everybody has been successful in one way or another, mm-hmm. that they know that there's a hope for them
right.
to make it because we made it. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of us are multimillionaires. I mean, we've got a couple of them.
Right.
But for the most part, we're all people that have just worked and did our jobs, took care of people, took care of our families, mm-hmm. and showed a lot of love and affection to other people.
True. Yeah.
I didn't get any of that growing up, but I got to tell you, I handed out like nobody's business. I love hugging people.
Yeah.
Somebody asked my wife, is he all right? He hugs everybody. And I do. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you're a guy or a gal. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to hug you. Mm-hmm. Breakfast this morning, I saw some guys I haven't seen since I graduated from high school. That I went to Chrisman with. Every one of us hugged each other.
Sure.
And it was really a nice feeling just mm-hmm. to see them. So, yeah, I think just the personalities and the responsibilities of life
right.
is the major things that you learn at drum, but there's so many more things that go into it.
Oh, the intangibles.
Oh, yeah, without question.
Now, I know you've changed many professions or gone through that several.
Yeah, that would be an understatement.
What would you say your primary profession was, and did you choose it, or did you just kind of step into it?
You mean which one have I done the longest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the one I'm doing now is I've been impersonating Kenny Rogers for 20 years, and it's mainly I didn't choose it; it kind of chose me.
Right.
But it's because of my speaking voice, my singing voice, and the way I look.
Right.
People kept coming up to me. I mean, my kids thought, what's wrong with these people? Mr. Rogers, could I get your autograph? And my kids would look at me, who's Mr. Rogers? Mm-hmm. They didn't even know who Kenny Rogers was.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, they were so little. And so people had been doing this for years. And then finally, somebody introduced me to an agent, and she just went haywire on me, and she says, my God, do you sing? And I said, well, I sang in high school in a cappella choir, and I had a scholarship for it, but I didn't use it.
Right.
I was playing sports. I was doing the stuff that could really harm my body. But so she asked me to sing something of Kenny's, and I sang it, and she about fell out of her chair, and she says, oh, listen, we got to get you some work. Are you interested in impersonating Kenny? And I said, well, I never thought that much about it, but I said, people are starting to drive me nuts with how much I talk like him, how much I look like him, and now you're going crazy with the singing thing. Mm-hmm. She says, let me see if I can find anything for you. I said, okay, whatever. I'm in sales, you know, so I said, okay, that's fine. So she called me 2 days later, and she had a big car show, and she said, we're going to we'd like to have Kenny Rogers there, so do you think you could learn one song in this week? And I said, well, which song do you want me to learn? And she said, The Gambler. I mean, that is Kenny's mainstay without question. And I said, okay, I'll work on that one. And she said, well, okay, here's the deal. It's a big car show. I want you to sing one song, and then I want you to walk around and take pictures with people and that are there. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun, and you'll only have to be there an hour. She said, now, I couldn't get you much money. All I could get you is $500. And I said, you could only get $500? I think I'll give this a try.
Right.
And 20 years later, I'm still doing this. And I thoroughly enjoy it. And I'm very honored to be able to impersonate somebody that has such a gift as Kenny. Mm-hmm. And he's such a nice person. Yeah. I mean, the times I've got to talk with him, he's a true gentleman.
That's great.
Yeah. Gave me a lot of ration of it, but he told me how good looking I thought he thought I was, and I agreed. I said, "You're good looking too."
You guys breaking each other's back.
Yeah. Here, let me pat your back. No, you pat mine now. But he's a very nice man.
Oh, that's great. Now, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like you believe drum influenced your success.
Without question. Without question. If I had not lived at Drum Farm, I really and truly have no idea where my life would have been. None whatsoever. Living the life I was living, I would not wish that on anybody. I mean, there was family, but we didn't get to spend a lot of time together because of the way my stepdad was. It turned out he was my stepdad. I didn't really realize that. I thought my last name was his because I was his son. Right. And it turned out, I found out later on, after he passed away when I was about 16, that he really wasn't my dad. I was left on their doorstep when I was a month old.
Oh, wow.
And so I never knew my real mother, and nobody knows who my father is. But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, I tell people, Mr. Berkmer, I got a kick out of this. I used this line years and years ago. The neat part about being an orphan child is the fact that you don't have to spend a lot of money on Christmas and birthday presents for your parents.
George would get a kick out of that.
Oh, he did. He laughed when he heard me tell a kid that one day.
Particularly when after him and Francis wrapping all those gifts over the Christmas.
he did do that. Boy, he got tired of that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that was one of those things that I'm very, very thankful for. Right. Drum Farm is, it's my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, you've got many accomplishments, but what are the ones that you're most proud of?
The four kids.
Hey, I agree. Yeah,
yeah, I'm very proud of them. They're neat kids. Excuse me. The four kids are really special. And not having family, that much of it growing up.
Right.
And then when you start your family, even though we kind of started in a backwards way, I still come out of this thing with four beautiful children, nine beautiful, healthy grandchildren, and one beautiful, healthy grandson, mm-hmm. great-grandson. So that is probably the biggest thing. But along with that is my family at Drum.
Right. Right.
You included, everybody. I mean,
now, the band of brothers.
We got a bunch of them, and I'm telling you what, I wouldn't trade that family for nothing in the world.
Oh, heck no. Yeah, and you can see it when you go out there for the reunions.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's like we've never been apart.
Oh, no. No, pick up where you left off.
I mean, I live in Vegas, and Dean lives in California,
mm-hmm.
and we're spread all over the country, and we still come back here.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a reason why, and it ain't just because of the weather.
Oh, heck no. Not in the middle of July.
We all know that. So, yeah, it's the band of brothers that we've got that is just a wonderful feeling. And it's such a warm, legitimate feeling. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody cares about everybody. You know that, Willard.
Oh, yeah.
You've been watching it forever.
Oh, yeah.
You do wonderful things with this.
Well, we got to preserve what we have.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, here's your golden opportunity, Richard. Do you have any stories about Drum?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that when I read that. Stories about Drum. You know, I could talk for hours on things that have happened at Drum.
Oh, sure.
We've had so many different crazy things happen. I mean, just little incidents where one big thing that happened that I thought was just funny as all get out was Bill Fleming was driving a tractor with a load of hay. I'm at the front. Don Petey's at the back. And he hits a bump, and Don goes, "Bill, I don't think it's going to And there on the very top of that hay, there it all went off the back, down onto the ground. Petey's down there just laying flat on the ground. And I'm thinking, "Are you okay?" He says, "Yeah." I think so. I can't breathe very well, but I think I'm okay, you know. And,
right.
But I think everything seems to happen with Bill Fleming. I don't know. Bill was driving, was on the wagon. We were out cleaning fence row. Glenn Taggart, who was the farm superintendent at the time, took us out to clean fence row. There was a wagon full of us guys. And Bill had a few of the guys throw me off the wagon while we were coming back in from working. And I'm running alongside the wagon trying to get on, and I'd grab the side of the wagon, and Bill would swing an axe and hit the side of the wagon, so I'd let go. I said, I got to get on this wagon. I'm not running all the way in there. So I ran around between the tractor and the wagon while it's going, and I jump up on the tongue, and I grab the wagon thing, and I'm starting to jump, and my foot slipped off the tongue, and the wagon hit me across the legs, and it knocked me down flat. The front tire of the wagon ran over my chest, and then I was crawling on out, and the back tire caught the back of my legs. And I'm screaming in the pasture, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dead, I'm dead. Glenn Taggart comes over and smacks me and says, Richard, you're all right. I said, I am? And boy, but I was one sore man, I'm telling you. But it was amazing. You could see the tire tracks going across my chest and across my calves and my legs. It was funny. I mean, it was funny after it all. It was over, but yeah. It scared the living daylights. I thought I was dead. But it, those kind of stories just go on and on and on. There's so many crazy things that happen out there. And some of them we probably should never put down on record.
That's true.
I'm not admitting to some of these things that happened, okay?
No, it's something you heard about.
Somebody told me about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
I hope that was enough.
Well, I've got David coming along.
So oh, my God. Oh, well, never mind. We'll just let it go because David can fill up a whole hour just telling you what happened.
Oh, I know. Now, with your life experiences, what words of wisdom or advice would you like to give to the younger generation?
Well, I first of all, it's nice to see that Drum Farm's coming back.
Oh, definitely.
Like it is. Yeah. I talked with Brad today.
Oh, good.
And I really, really like this man. Mm-hmm. This superintendent is doing marvelous things, bringing in animals again and having the fresh vegetables, having a market. I think that's all great stuff. The things that I think I would tell the kids, boys and girls now at Drum, listen to what the parents are telling you, the house parents, and listen to what everybody tells you and try to spend as much time with an alumni that you can and find out that there really are great things ahead if you want them.
Right.
But you have to want them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel sorry for yourself because of the situation you're in.
Right.
Make the better part of it. I could have been any bad thing I wanted to be, but I chose to be a happy person that enjoys life, enjoys people. And that's because of the fact of people like Mr. Berkmeyer, like Mr. Brown, mm-hmm. like Mr. Kelly, Mrs. Kelly, everybody that had anything to do with helping me become a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that they take advantage of every avenue they have there. Because Drum Farm will give you avenues and will introduce you to good people mm-hmm. that can help. You know, another, before I forget it, and I want this to go on record, another couple that were so, so special outside of Drum Farm in our church was Joyce and Delbert Mayfield.
Oh, yes.
You've met Joyce and Delbert. A couple of us guys that went to the Christian church, we were talking one day. I don't know. We must have been sophomores in high school. Boy, I wish Joyce and Delbert would adopt us. I mean, and to this day, when we see each other, we got so many hugs and kisses mm-hmm. for each other. Those two people never had children of their own, but they sure had a bunch of them at Drum.
Oh, definitely.
And they still do.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to go on record about Joyce and Delbert because they're two very, very special people in my life that I love with all my heart. So if Joyce and Delbert gets to hear this, I love you guys.
let's see now. I threw in this question. What have you done that no one guessed that you'd never done? Because a lot of times, you know, We talk about the everyday things.
Right.
But what's something that you've done that no one would guess?
Wow. You know.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be any earth-shaking thing.
No, I know. I was just trying to, think. I really don't know that. I would like to say there's something that would shock everybody. Richard did that. But I think the music thing really shocked people more than anything else when I started doing the impersonations. I mean, I had a lot of the guys say, I didn't even know you knew how to sing.
Right.
You know, yeah. So I think probably the entertainment – well, I don't think the entertainment side of it, because they always knew I was a class clown.
Right.
And I always love entertaining people. But to get up in front of people and sing, I think that probably shocked a lot of them.
Right.
And I think – from what I can tell from them, I think it shocked them that I actually could sing. They thought maybe I was lip syncing or something. And
karaoke.
Yeah. But no, I think that would have to be it, even though that's kind of a cop out maybe, but I think that shocked a lot of people more than anything I've ever done.
No.
Because being in sales and marketing, that wouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, I'm so full of dew that, you know, I can selling Eskimo ice cubes, but it's just one of those things that doing the music thing, because sports was not a shocking thing to anybody.
Right.
And so I would have to say it would be the music.
I think you're right in terms of actually as a profession.
Yes.
That'd surprise a lot of the guys.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, pleasantly so, I might add, but
well, sure.
You know, and I've been, they're talking about doing some kind of a benefit maybe to raise some money. And they asked if I'd be interested in doing it, and I told them absolutely not. That's what I said, and then I said, I'm just kidding. Of course, you let me know when and where, and I'll be there. But, you know, it's those kind of things. But it's a nice avenue to have. It's a nice thing to offer up, you know, to be able to help raise money by coming in and singing some songs.
Right.
I mean, how easy is that? Well, I mean, it's easy for me. Some people would not enjoy getting up and singing a song. And some people, I wouldn't want to hear them get up and sing a song, like David.
That's true. Have him sing solo.
Solo that we can't hear him.
That's right. And our last question is, what would you like people to remember most about you? You know, not your good looks, not your great voice.
No, I think probably my heart.
Okay.
Good heart. I'm very blessed.
Right.
And I treat people the way I want to be treated. So I think that's probably the thing that I want mostly to be remembered by, is that I treated people right. I was a good person,
right.
Good father.
Yeah, quite a few of the grads would say an honorable man.
Well, yeah, I would have to say that too. I mean, I don't do anything to hurt anybody, not intentionally.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure somewhere along the line we've all hurt somebody in some way or another. Words can be very hurting to people.
True.
I use words a lot when I'm talking with people and saying some dumb things sometimes, jokingly, but sometimes they don't come out sounding jokingly.
Right.
And boy, I have apologized so many times, and I just claim stupidity.
it
seems to work. You know, I said I scraped the stupid off my forehead, but it's still there. But anyway, yeah, I think that would be it for me. It's just the way I treat people and how I feel like people are usually glad to see me, and so that makes it good.
Now, that's all of the questions.
Okay.
I want to give you an opportunity to add anything that you'd like to say.
Okay. Well, for me, I can't say enough great things about Drum Farm, first of all. Drum Farm is my life, and it's made me the human being that I am today, and I'm very proud of the way I am. And everybody I know at Drum Farm that grew up in my era or before my era, or the ones that are even starting to grow up now that I'm actually getting a chance to meet, nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people. We got a lot of people that really, really care.
Right.
And that's a neat thing. I mean, I could go and name all the guys that I really care about, but I mean, we all know who everybody is.
Sure.
And I mean, you know, you look at this, all the different age groups that we have, Willard, from, you know, the 40s and 50s,
right,
all the way through, and we can be from all the different age groups and we still have fun together. Mm-hmm. We get together and play golf. How many age groups have we got in that golf group that we have of 16, 18 people?
Right.
I mean, my gosh, it's a range that nobody could ever imagine as having that kind of fun together with that wide range of age.
True.
But it's that bond from Drum Farm.
Mm-hmm.
It's that growing and learning at Drum Farm and the bond that we have with each other because we know what we do, what we did,
right,
to make that place a great place, to make us good human beings. So I am just so proud. I'm so proud that you asked me to do this, because it's a neat thing to be able to talk about something like this the way we do.
I mean, it's
nice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the guys go, oh, don't get all mushy on me. Stop that, Richard. But it's nice to be able to do it. And I could name all the guys that what I think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get tired of talking about them, and it'd all be positive things.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of them, we just have fun together. How many times have we gave each other more crap than you can shake a stick at?
Oh, I know.
On a constant basis.
Yep.
And how often do we really see each other? Once a year?
Most of the time, yeah.
But the care is always there.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's what it's all about, bud.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. You take care. And
thank you,
sir. That concludes another one of our interviews for the Drum Farm. Thank you.